And we just go, what's the term that we use when you're selling a car that you want people to think that you know, it's perfectly good? Do you remember that term? It's derogatory, actually. Lady driven. Have you seen my wife drive? You don't want a cursed and driven vehicle. Actually, you might, because it's well broken in. But, you know, I think my mom probably would fit that lady-driven category, except that, you know, she's hit her car a couple of times on different things. So maybe you don't want a lady-driven vehicle. But if you are buying one and you see that phrase, ask them, what does that mean? Because I think everybody has a slightly different view of that. But friends, how are you living your life? Are you availing yourself of the power available to you and I in Christ? Let me read. We read the whole text last week from 15 on to 23. I'm just going to read 18 to 21. I may go back to some of the other verses. But here's what it says. I pray. This is Paul praying. And again, you know, Paul preaches the gospel in amazing ways, but he prays the gospel in this God-powerful ways. And so listen to what he prays for the Ephesians, and I believe what he prays for us. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked not only in the present age, but also in the age to come. Father, we pray you speak to us today by your Holy Spirit. Open up the eyes of our heart, as Paul says, so that we may know. And one of the things that Paul prays that we would know is your power. Your power that is at work in us, and I believe available to us. That we may live a life that you've called us to live, that we can deal with all the difficulties, all the challenges that life brings our way. Speak to us and make us aware of this power available to us. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I mentioned to you that Paul uses the word power, and in our English Bible, it doesn't quite translate equally, but here he says that we may know his incomparably great power, and the power that is the same that as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead, and then he did other things. Let me just very quickly here mention that the four words that are referred to for power. The first one, no surprise, you will have heard this word. This is where we get our English word dynamite or dynamic. Dunamis, power, is the capacity to do whatever needs to be done. Isn't that nice? That God has the capacity or the power to do whatever he determines needs to be done. That's pretty cool. The other word that he uses that are often translated as working in here, so that working or it's at work, it's where we get our English word energy. Energy. So this is Paul using this word again. It's the ability to do whatever needs to be done, and it's active, not potential energy. It's the work that is actually working already. It's not that you could. It's not like that car where you're going, you know, you just have it revved up to like 2,000 when you can push it to, you know, 75,000 RPMs and feel the power. It's just sitting there. It's that ability that is not just waiting to be used someday, but it's already being used by God, and he used it. We'll see how God has used his power. And then a couple more is sometimes translated as might and kratos. You will, in our English language, we use it in words like democracy, autocracy, theocracy, which has to do with might or with authority, refers to the authority to exercise power, the right to work, to be able to do that. That's why we say when we live in a democracy, it's governed by the people. and that the governments we elect have certain power that we've entrusted to them, and they don't consult us for every little thing. I know sometimes it would be nice if they did, but we have, by voting them, that's what had happened. Or in a case where there is an autocracy, where somebody just has named themselves to be a ruler, or as you know, the leader of North Korea calls himself the supreme ruler. It's sort of like this, except he's not the supreme ruler. That's just what he thinks. And the last word, sometimes translated as strength, is inherent strength or inherent ability to overcome resistance. Isn't that cool? That in our spiritual lives, when the devil resists us, the power of God enables us to overcome that. That when God has a plan and the devil wants to resist that, God can push it over. God will not be stopped by anyone who resists him. That's why he will go on to say that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father and that he is above everything else, every power, every authority, everything. No one can stand up and say, well, you know, I sit a little higher than God. I have more authority. No one can. And you know, I don't remember who, I think an old pastor of mine used this illustration to speak of the difference between power and authority. Okay? So, you know, when you were driving down Highway 19 there and they were doing some work, and sometimes they had these flag people. And so this, you know, 110-year-old person stands there with a little sign that says stop. And, you know, this 18-wheeler with two trailers stops. Can I tell you, he or she, with the little flag, does not have the power to make that stop, but they have the authority to make it stop. And God has the power and the authority to do it. Aren't you glad? No wonder we call him the title we use is Jehovah. Most of the time in our English Bible appears as an uppercase Lord. Literally means the God of heaven's armies. He has the authority, he has the power, he has the ability, he has the strength to make it work. And guess what? He is using that. He's not like just sitting there, but accomplishing nothing. So let's look at the three ways in which, according to these verses, God has used this power. Number one, he used that power to raise Christ from the dead. You know, again, I think I mentioned last week, I thought that if he would have said when God made the world, because, I mean, that's pretty powerful, you know, to speak things into being out of nothing, to just say, let there be light, and there is light, and let the darkness and the light separate, and it separates. Or maybe, you know, all those plagues that were used in Egypt. That's a lot of power, isn't it? Or when the Israelites crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. That's a lot of power to just like part the waters. Or, you know, things like when Joshua, I believe, they prayed that the sun would stand still, and it did. I mean, that's a lot of power. Or when God, his people had been carried off into exile because they disobeyed him, but he said that if they repented and they called out to him, that he would hear them. And even if they had been spread to the furthest corners of the earth, that he would bring them back from there. And he did. He caused the heart of a man, of a king to say, okay, you guys can go back to your own homeland. Just like that. Because God moves the hearts of people. He has the power and the authority and the ability and the strength, and he cannot be resisted. So he used it when Jesus was buried, and even though he had said that he would come back to life, they all had forgotten, just like we forget often. And then Jesus came back to life. Can you imagine what that must have been like? Was there like a rumble and an earthquake and thunder and lightning? Or it was just, okay, well, I guess it's time to, you know, raise back up from the dead. But Jesus is raised back from the dead by this power that we are talking about. Secondly, it says that he sat Christ at his right hand. That's an old expression, of course, to say to be invited to sit at the place of power and authority. That's why what Jesus says happens. He is seated there. And the idea that he's seated on his throne, you know, the picture is that he has done everything he needs to do, and all that is he is waiting for it to now all come to pass. God and Jesus are not on their throne, wringing their hands, wondering how we're going to come out of this economic situation that we're in, out of this political situation that we're in, out of the conflicts and wars that we're in, and the famines that we're in. He's not concerned in the sense that it wasn't something that caught him by surprise. And he says, "You are my son. I have raised you from the dead. You have obeyed me. You have fulfilled the requirements of my justice so that the world can be saved. Now you come and sit with me." So that's why we see earlier in this chapter, and we'll see it a lot in Revelation, that besides God the Father being on the throne, Jesus is also on the throne. Pretty wild, don't you think? Honestly. Third thing, they says that he is using this same power to put all things under Christ's feet. That's a way to say that they will all be under his rule, his authority, his government. That's why Isaiah, back in the prophecies, several hundred years before Jesus was born, and he speaks that his name shall be called Emmanuel, and that he will be the Prince of Peace and a wonderful counselor. But then we forget that he goes on to say that the government shall rest upon his shoulders, and of the, what happens? That of the longevity of his kingdom shall never end. He's king forever. Because as we are seeing here, that all power, all authority in heaven and on earth, now and in the future, are all going to be under the feet of Christ, because he will be exalted. There's an old hymn that speaks about till all his enemies submit. We don't see the effects of that yet in our world, but let me tell you, rest assured, it's guaranteed. It is going to happen. That's why in Philippians, Paul will go on to say that because Jesus humbled himself and he obeyed his Father even to the point of death and death on a cross, that because of that, God has exalted him above every other name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It is going to happen. Because of why? Because of the power of God. He is powerful. You know, when we talk about evil and good and darkness and light and what's going on in the world, sometimes even Christians talk about like, well, you know, there's these two supreme powers, God and the devil, and they're kind of wrestling it out. No. That is not the case at all. The devil does not hold a candle to God's power, authority, strength, and might. He is not sovereign. He is not all-powerful. He is not all-knowing. We need to realize that God is powerful more than we could ever imagine. So I've got a question for you as we start to wrap things up. What do you need power for? What are you facing in your life today that you say, I wish I had more power, more authority. I don't know how I'm going to do this. Is it a relationship issue that you need to work through? Is it a health concern that you're battling? Is it an economic concern? Is it fear of the future? Is there struggles that we have with doubt? Do we find ourselves in a situation where we do not know what to do? What do you need power for? I don't know what your situation may be, but I want to tell you that the power you need for whatever you're going through is always available to you, because it's God's power at work in you and me. And his power is not only there to save us, to help us be God's holy people, It's also there for the practical things of everyday life. When we don't know what to do, when we are at our wits' ends, when we're hanging on to the end of the rope, when we think that if we decide A or B, that nothing might work out, when we are ready to give up and say, I just can't do this anymore, God's strength and power is available to us for us to take the actions that He wants us to take. God's power is available to us so that I can say no to guilt and yes to God. So that I can say no to, as Paul uses the term, the flesh, and yes to the Spirit. The power of God is available so that I can love my spouse when I don't feel like it. I mean, not that it ever happens, but you know, theoretically speaking. The power of God is available to me to forget, to forgive somebody who has hurt me in an unfair kind of way, and I want my pound of flesh. The power of God can help me to say, God, forgive them. The power of God is available to us when we fear for the future, whether that be how we're going to make it through retirement, our kids, our grandkids, all of those things. The power of God is available to us to keep our eyes on Jesus and have this quiet confidence that God will be faithful. You know, earlier in this chapter, Paul talked about God blessing us according to His riches. And I said to you that, you know, I could bless you according to my riches, but Mark, that sure wouldn't be very much. Maybe a cup of tea at Tim's or something. But I could, you know, but my resources are not very much. But God has endless resources and endless power available to His children so that we can walk in newness of life. I am going to preach my farewell sermon next Sunday from chapter 4, where Paul says, I want you to walk worthy of your calling. Friends, can I tell you something? You and I cannot do that in our own strength. If you want to live a frustrated Christian life, try it on your own strength. But we don't have to. His power is available to us by the Holy Spirit. Aren't you glad? And that, friends, is the biggest difference between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, in that now we've been given the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Lives in us. That enables us to want to do what God wants us to do, to live the way God wants us to live, to have the priorities that God wants us to have. His power available to us so we can say yes and amen to God every time. So, yeah, you know, step on that accelerator and feel the power kick in. And just when you think it's like, wow, I think that's going to be it. Another more power kicks in, and more and more and more for all your life. All the situations we face in life, we have power available to us through God's Holy Spirit. Don't you want that? We all want to live empowered by His Spirit. And it's available to us. It's for the asking. Let's pray. Father, thank You that You are powerful. Thank You for the strength. Thank You for the wisdom. Thank You for the authority. Thank You for the might. Thank You for the ability to accomplish that which You want, and the ability to overcome any resistance, even our own towards You sometimes. Lord, I pray that You would awaken all of us to this reality that Your power is at work in us, and that Your power is available to us through Your Holy Spirit. So, Lord, that we can live empowered lives for Your honor and for Your glory. In the precious, wonderful, powerful name of Jesus, amen. Amen.